Therapy Thursday with Dr. Judy Blum. Good morning, Dr. Judy.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing great. How you doing?
We're good. We're good.
Everything's great in Los Angeles.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Except for the fires that are going on.
Hopefully, I know.
If you don't mind breathing smoke.
Yeah, right.
Don't worry. We'll take care of it. It's going to land here in Bakersfield in just a little bit.
Well, Dr. Judy is here. She's going to be taking your questions this morning. You got something going on in your life that you need someone to talk to about. 842-KLY. Dr. Judy, we're just talking about guys being in the delivery room.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like these days, you are, as a guy, required to be there.
Absolutely, you're required to be there. But I have to tell you, that's been true for the last at least 25 years, if a woman was at all enlightened, that she wanted the guy in there with her.
Well, there are guys out there that still don't do it, including Jerry O'Connell. You know, he just his girlfriend, Rebecca Romijn, just squeezed out twins.
Wow.
And now he's talking about the fact that he really wasn't there and he didn't look because his buddy told him not to.
Right.
So we want your advice on that.
So we're going to get into that in just a few with you, all right?
My ex-husband filmed the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay.
It was okay.
So we know where you'll be coming from. We got Dr. Judy Blum here. Therapy Thursday with Dr. Judy Blum. Good morning, Dr. Judy.
Good morning. How's everything up in Bakersfield?
It's going. The moon was a little strange color this morning. Getting into work, it was kind of this yellow-orangish color. I don't know if pollution or smoke's floating up this way from L.A., but
yeah, it's like it.
Very likely the smoke heading up there because it's been doing that. The sunsets and the moon have just been really extraordinary to look at. I mean, it's horrible what's happened, but there's also that sort of surreal kind of pretty side to it sometimes, you know?
That's for sure.
Right.
All right. Well, we were talking about baby daddies and how these days baby daddies are pretty much required to be in the delivery room. They really can't opt out of it. And you had some thoughts about that.
Yeah, I was saying my ex-husband was there for both my kids from, you know, start to finish. He didn't actually, you know, relish the idea at first, but he brought along, a camera and shot the whole thing, and that really kind of gave him something to do and sort of a purpose, and so that helped him really kind of get into it. So that's an idea for guys who are a little, you know, adverse to the whole idea, although you got to be careful that you're not so busy filming that when she needs you, she doesn't bite your head off because you're not doing anything else but filming, right?
Yeah, you don't want to be Steven Spielberg, you know.
Well, boys can always have a good time with high-tech toys.
Exactly. little high-tech equipment goes a long way. So yeah. At least for certain periods of time, it's a good fallback.
But maybe I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the filming of the birth. Because do you actually all sitting around, eat popcorn, and watch it again?
Watch it, right?
I mean, do you really? Really?
You got to understand my ex-husband. He also kept the placenta and buried it in our backyard because it was good fertilizer for the tree.
Oh, boy.
I've heard that. I've heard, you know, Matthew McConaughey, he's what, drank it? Put in a shake.
Oh, boy.
Done weird things with it.
You guys are making me dizzy this morning.
You just can't handle that stuff.
All right, so what about guys that say, there is no way am I going to be in there. I can't handle it. I'm too queasy. It'll make me ill.
You know, I think for guys who are like that, they need to, first of all, talk to the woman, you know, and see how important it is to her or not for him to be there. I mean, that's really critical, right? You know, I mean, how does she feel about it? And if she really wants you to be there, then you've got to figure out a way to suck it up. You just do, because this is your partner in life. And if it's important to her, it needs to be important to you. So that, I think that's number one. The other thing is, you've got to remind yourself that this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And it truly once, because no matter how many kids you might have, it's still once per kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. And you want to know that you were there at the birth of your child. It's your child, too. It's not just hers. And it really, I think, intensifies the bonding between the father and the child. The woman's experiencing it anyway. You know, this child's been in her belly for the last 9 months. She's already bonded. You know, this is already very much a part of her. And I think guys kind of feel a little bit left out of the process sometimes, you know? This is a way for a guy to be intimately involved in the process and know when that kid is, you know, turns, 16 and 21 and whatever, you know, down the road, you know, I was there the moment you came into the world. That's a really special thing.
Let me ask you something. I heard this, I think, back in college. when I took a psychology class.
Right.
So well over 10 years. Not well over, but 10 years or so. That if you actually see, a man actually sees the birth of his child, watches it, that he doesn't look at his wife in a sexual manner anymore, because now he looks at the vagina as like the birth canal and a very kind of sacred, you know, area, that he doesn't really look at her sexually. And that's why sometimes a lot of marriages fall apart, and there's that lack of intimacy between the husband and wife, or girlfriend, boyfriend.
Well,
is that true,
I think,
or false?
I think that it's a possibility. I don't think that that's certainly that that's true either all the time or necessarily for very long, okay? Just depending on somewhat on the maturity level of the guy, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it were totally true, everybody would be an only child, right?
Right.
So obviously there's a point at which most guys kind of can get past that and start seeing their wife as a sexual being again. I do think that, you know, and the studies have shown that for the first, you know, about the first year or so after you have kids, so whether you watch the birth or not, that there is this tendency to be a bit sex adverse with the partner, because the guy is looking at her as being now the mother of the child, and those breasts are now for, you know, feeding the child.
Right.
And it's a different perception and level of awareness. And for a lot of women, not all, but a lot of women also aren't particularly interested in sex for quite a while, because they see their own bodies as being primarily nurturing machines. And not being in the kind of shape that they're used to being in, so not feeling as attractive, you know, that's a whole different kind of an area, right? So I think that those kinds of things definitely do happen in marriages and in, you know, partnerships. Not always, but frequently.
Well, we know one thing. If guys were the sex that had to give birth, there would be no children whatsoever.
That's right.
I wouldn't go through it. I don't know how you do it. But anywho, you know, sometimes you got things rolling around your head. You got issues going on. Maybe you got relationship troubles with your significant other, your man, or maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your parents, whoever it is.
Maybe it's just with yourself.
Maybe it's yourself. And sometimes you just need somebody to talk to. And Dr. Judy Blume is here. She's a great, fun person to talk to. We got an email from mornings@kloy.com, Dr. Judy.
Okay, let's go for it.
All right. It says, my boyfriend and I, this is from Paige. My boyfriend and I have been together for 8 years. We've never broken up or taken any time apart. And now we live together. Here's the thing. He says he doesn't believe in marriage. He says he's committed to me and only me, so there's no reason for the two of us to go through the formalities of getting married and all that. She says, I was okay with it at first, but now I want to get married. So should I give him
an
ultimatum, you know, marry me or I'm breaking up with you?
It is such a common, you know, circumstance. I can't tell you how many people have walked into my office with exactly that kind of scenario.
But can I ask you, is it the man usually saying?
Yeah, most of the time it's the guy who's saying, you know, I love you, I'm committed to you, I don't want to get married. Okay?
What?
Most of the time.
I don't get that, but okay.
Because they are, you know, actually commitment adverse, right? They're able to be in that kind of quasi commitment, okay, of living with somebody and presumably being, you know, monogamous and all of that. If that's, you know, what they're committing to, right?
Yes.
But it's that one foot out the door, okay? It's that, you know, if I want to leave, I can leave. All right, it's that one foot out the door thing.
Why do we do that?
Because of lots of reasons. One, for some guys, it's very largely financially based. Okay, they're afraid that, especially if they're, you know, kind of the primary wage earner in the family, they're really afraid that should the marriage not work, they're going to get taken to the cleaners financially. Okay, so there definitely is a financial component here. For other people, it's having just seen a lot of relationships that do end poorly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, so it's a risk aversion from that. And for other people, it, you know, it's just that kind of always there might be something better down the road here, and I may not want to always be here, and that's kind of in the back of their mind, whether they're stating it or not, even to themselves.
That seems like a big reason to not marry that person, period,
and be
with them. Because if you're having, you're not definitive with the fact that you think this is the person you definitely want to spend the rest of your life with. This is the mother
after
of your
8 years, then you shouldn't be there.
You should know what you want after 8 years.
So, do you think
that you should? And it's a real, you know, in my opinion, I think living with somebody prior to being engaged with a date, okay, is a bad idea for a woman especially.
Really?
I think it's a bad idea. You really, if you want to get married someday to this person, don't live with them until it, you know, you got the ring and the date down. And the ring is secondary. It, you know, it's the level of commitment, and the ring simply symbolizing that. All right.
Wow, I think I've heard a totally different opinion.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I can totally see that.
I hear that you should definitely, from all my married friends, you need to definitely live with the person you're going to be with.
Well, I'm actually saying that I kind of agree that, you know, unless it's, you know, against your, you know, seriously against your religious kinds of beliefs and whatnot, right? In which case you do what you believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of really knowing a person and knowing what they are on the day in, day out, you know, kind of a basis, yeah, I think there's some benefit to living with them for a while, okay? But we're talking, you know, maybe 6 months, not, you know, 8 years, right?
Right.
Big difference. That's why I'm saying, as you know, during that engagement period, that's the time to think about maybe doing that. Okay?
Moving in.
Right, then, moving in then, during that period.
Okay.
Where an engagement is truly an engagement, where it means, okay, we're planning on getting married. We're not there yet, okay? But we have a date in mind. We're, you know, that we're both on that same page. We both agreed to that. And therefore, at least up until, you know, that date comes along, you know, we're giving ourselves the time to really make sure that there aren't some kind of living habits that are going to make us crazy.
But you could always cancel it.
Well, at that point, you can. That's true.
Right.
Okay?
Before you get overcommitted.
But at least you're making it definitive, and it's not, again, it's not, you know, we're doing this for 8 years. We're doing this for, you know, 6 months or a year. Okay?
Well, it also doesn't push a guy when you're living together you're together for 8 years, living together for, I'm sure, who knows, a long time. And so you have all the entities that a marriage has. You know, you have, you know, you do each other's laundry, you clean, you share chores.
Yeah, for a guy, it's like, hey, why? Okay, how am I going to benefit from that? Okay,
right.
In essence, okay, how's my life going to be any different or any better if we get married?
Exactly.
So your advice for Paige is to walk away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, move out.
Wow. Yeah.
If he really wants you, he'll come after you.
That's right. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
That's your answer.
Well, all right. There you go, Paige. Mm. There's your answer. If you've got a question, you can always email it, mornings@kloy.com. Dr. Judy Blume is here for Therapy Thursday. Good morning.
Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question, Chris?
I had a question. Well, you guys were talking about the man, the girl, and he's not committing. It's been 8 years.
Yeah.
Well, I was curious because it sounded like she knew beforehand. They kind of had an agreement where he was indicating that he did not want to get married. So why would someone get involved into an 8-year relationship with that in mind and then turn around and want to change it? It's kind of like you had information before, made the decision. Was that because she hoped that she could change that or...
Oh, yeah. I see where you're coming from, because she did say that at the beginning she agreed about the, you know, we don't believe in marriage thing, and I'm with you on that, and then she changed her mind.
Right.
Then she changed her mind, and now she wants him to change his mind, and the tactic is, we'll give him an ultimatum, and, to me it just kind of seems kind of odd.
It seems like she's not being consistent.
Well, yeah, I guess you can change your mind at any point, and I'm thinking... With the marriage thing, how she was saying that, well, he's afraid he's going to get taken to the cleaners, all this stuff. But isn't it also psychology where, because of the marriage rules, laws, that women go into a marriage thinking, well, if it doesn't work, I can always get divorced?
What do you think, Dr. Judy?
Well, I think both partners actually tend to go into relationships these days and marriages these days with that sort of underlying, well, if it doesn't work out, I can always get divorced. Both partners, you know, do... frequently do that. not the best way to go into a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, you want to, if you're going to go into a marriage, you want to go in, into it with a level of commitment that is, that I am committed to making this work if at all possible. Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are things that are unforeseen. You know, things happen. But you do need to at least have your best intention, I think, when you get, enter into that level of commitment. You know, I agree with you, that and I think I kind of missed that at the beginning of that email, that she agreed at the beginning that to just live with him, but that in saying that she also agreed with him that marriage wasn't important, okay, to her either. So if she agreed to that and said that it wasn't important to her either, you're right, then she's changing the rules, you know, later on in the game. And that isn't really fair. You're right, okay? If she just said it to appease him, and that's the point that, you know, the part we don't really know here because we don't have her on the line, but if she said, and I think this happens frequently, you know, women, again, in particular, tend to be pretty codependent and will do things just to please others. They're kind of raised that way as a rule, rather than really thinking about what they want in their own lives and acting in their own best interests. So, you know, I think there's probably a really good chance that she said, oh, it doesn't matter to me either, when in truth it really did matter. And yeah, you know, she figured, well, you know, in essence, he'll change his mind down the road, okay? Again, a lot of this is just kind of unspoken, frequently even to, you know, even to yourself. And it's another reason why, you know, I think that it's very important to not live with somebody until, you know, you're really sure that this is somebody that, that you want to be married to. Now, if you think you never want to be married in your life and you're really pretty, man or woman, you know, you're really pretty sure of that, and there's nothing wrong with making that decision if that's your decision, right? But if that's your decision, then you need to really know that that's your decision. You really, for whatever reasons in your own, you know, mind, you really just don't want to ever be married. Then the two of you have that kind of discussion and really both agree to that. And then, you know, do what you want to do, right? But you got to know yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate that. You know, Dr. Judy, like self-discovery, you know, not knowing what really you want, you know, maybe she didn't know that she wanted to get married back then,
right,
8 years ago, and now she's realized, yes, I do.
Right.
And, yeah, you're thinking, you know, people change over time.
Yeah, people change over time.
8 years is a long time. Let me tell you what I was like 8 years ago.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
let me tell you about what I was last month.
Yeah, and 8 years from now is going to be completely different as well.
Yeah, so
I don't
know.
What do you think?
And marriage is a leap of faith. It is.
What do you think?
That's true.
Always. It's always a leap of faith because we never know what is going to happen. We really don't. There's, you know, we don't have crystal balls.
That's life, period, right?
things change.
Dr. Judy, you know, like,
you got to be able to weather the changes. I mean, that's part of what the commitment, that's why it's so different when you actually are married to somebody versus just living with them, okay? Because there, it does change in a subtle way. It does change the real level of commitment. You may think you were really committed to somebody beforehand, but it really changes. I mean, that's why a lot of relationships break up during that first, you know, 6 months or a year of marriage or 2 years of marriage, because people really, it, you know, find out what that real difference is, and they really go, oh, my God, you know, these are things that, you know, normally I might have overlooked if I were just living with somebody, but now it really is, this is forever, okay? And this is how that person really is, and that's not going to change.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Go ahead, EJ.
Dr. Judy, you know what I'd like to get into coming up in just
sure.
a little bit is what can we do now to getting back to the self-discovery, how can we figure out what we want if we're not sure? Is there a way that we can to present that to ourselves? You know, is it a little task of writing something down or something like that where we can start trying to figure out who we are and what we want?
Yeah, we you know, it's our must and must not list, right?
Week.
Are about ourselves.
Okay, let's get into that again coming up in just a little bit. All right, Therapy Thursday with Dr. Judy Blum, and we are talking about your must-haves and your must-not list.
Last week we started talking about
that. Last week we were talking about that. And, you know, when you're looking for a partner or you're you know, I almost think for friends as well, too, don't you?
This has to do with relationships, period.
Well, yeah. It has to do with relationships of all kinds. That's right. You need to know what's important to you in your life in terms of what is really not negotiable in terms of your relationships with other people. And I'm not talking about preferences. I'm talking about things that are truly not negotiable for you. So it's not a list of, you know, 40 different things. It's maybe 10.
Right. Well, I've got a list I made, and I got a lot more than 10, but I know some of them are not absolute must-haves.
Right.
I know, you know, like you said, some of them are preferences. And, you know, the first few that popped in my brain for anybody to be in my life, trustworthy, truthful, honest and real, reliable, patient, intuitive and smart, supportive, confident. I can go on and on here, Dr.
Hold
Phoebe.
On. Problem one. Sorry. I know EJ personally, not just because he's my little co-host here on the air. But I don't find that you pick those kinds of relationships, EJ.
Exactly. And that's why I feel the need to
write... I can probably count on my hand how many
people... These down. That's why I'm writing them down, because I want to avoid those.
Yeah, but are you going to get rid of these people?
That's what I'm working on right now.
Ah.
That's why I'm writing these down, and I'm starting to see it a little bit clearer.
And in writing it down, you do see it more clearly. You start go, and that's sort of step two in doing this, is running a checklist of what those real absolutes, again, now we're talking about non-negotiables, not just, you know, I prefer this or that, okay? But it's things that are just, you really have to have in a relationship. Trustworthiness is a good example, right?
Yeah.
That then you have to run that your partner against that, or your friends, whoever, okay, against that, and say, you know, where do they fall in that category? Okay,
right.
What have I seen? Not just lip service. What have I seen?
And
the,
you know,
actions.
Now
right?
that I'm looking through my list, I've probably got 100 things on there. But, you know, I can see the difference between the preferences and the must-haves. Like, here's a preference. Those other ones I would say are must-haves.
Right.
But loves to travel, loves the ocean, loves music. I see those as preferences.
Yeah, those exactly. Those are preferences. Unless, you know, you're blasting music throughout the house all day long.
Right.
And you need to do that to feel, you know, alive, right? And headsets aren't good enough for you. Then, you know, then you need somebody who's like that too. But otherwise, no, you're right. It's a preference.
And then, you know, on the must-nots, I put selfish, self-centered, entitled, critical, self-loathing, depressed or moody, talker, not a good listener, interrupts, too funny, always too funny and always on.
Too funny and always on. That's an interesting one.
Huh.
Like,
that's an interesting one. So you want somebody who can be a little circumspect, a little serious, and a little take a good look at themselves.
Right.
Someone too funny almost falls in the category of like a class clown,
jokester.
Kind of immaturity.
Yeah, it's
right.
Like, all right, zip
like,
it.
Let's get serious here. Yeah. We're adults.
Right. So, yeah, I think that all of those kinds of things are exactly the things that you want to be looking for as your preferences for your must, as your absolutes for your must and must-nots versus your preferences.
And,
so
of course,
you got to look at the red flags.
Right.
So if these are truly absolutes, right?
Right.
These are truly absolutes. Then if anything on either of those lists, you know, rears its ugly little head, you got to pay attention to that and not see it as just, you know, a little caution. You got to really look at it. And if it's really there and you're saying it's not negotiable, don't expect the person to change.
Right.
Dr. Judy,
exactly.
So at that point, You've realized your must-have list, and you realize the relationships that you've created and that you're in. How do you end those relationships? Do you just
ending relationships is never easy, right?
I mean, you've
right.
gotta.
It's always painful. It's always difficult. Somebody is always, you know, sad or hurt or angry or, you know, I mean, always, right? You know,
right.
So you sit down with a friend too, and you say, "Hey, it's done."
Yeah, you say, you know, there are things that I'm seeing here that really don't work for me, and I'm not saying you need to change, because that's, you know, that's who you are, and, you know, you're going to work on yourself or not work on yourself and change these things or not if they bother you. But, you know, if there are things that don't work for me, okay, they just don't work for me.
Dr. Judy, unfortunately, we're running out of time. What is your website?
Dr. Judy at drjudybloom.com, and Judy's with an I, and Bloom is O-O-M, like a flower.
And, you know, just to close up, I just wanted to say that I see the red flags. Just from writing this down last Friday, I'm starting to see red flags in people, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Something's got to change.
It's time to break up, EJ.
I know, exactly. All right, Dr. Judy, thank you so much. We'll have to get into that again next week, because I think it's a pretty interesting topic, and I think we all struggle with that all the time.
Yeah, I think we do.
All right, well, have yourself a great one.
You too. Have a great week.
Okay, bye.